This episode of the Educated Ignorance Podcast is brought to you by the For Frequency Sake Podcast Network. Subscribe to the For Frequency Sake Podcast Network on your favorite podcast platform for the newest episodes of The Data Lab with Professor John Bush and Dennis Mickelson, as well as new episodes every week of Card Subject to Change, our new wrestling podcast with CZ and Nick. And three times a week, releasing episodes on Mondays, Tuesdays, and Fridays, the Educated Ignorance Podcast. On Mondays, you will get full breakdowns of the Sunday night football game, as well as a couple quick-hitting topics from some of the NFL action on Sunday. Tuesday will be a quick-hitting reaction of the Monday night football game, as well as a full slate review of the Sunday games, the biggest and broadest topics from the weekend of football, as well as some college football stuff. And, of course, that Tuesday will be the Elite Eight episode each week for the NFL season, where we reveal the top eight teams, according to myself, in the NFL. And then on Friday, we will be releasing each week a big kind of preview for the weekend's games coming up, as well as the Sinister Six podcast every week with Mac Fulton. He will be joining us every week for the Sinister Six, joint venture of NFL games and college games throughout the year. Our best six picks of the weeks. We will also have some betting stuff in there as well, against the spread, over unders, things like that. So stay tuned for those three episodes a week of the Educated Ignorance Podcast here on the For Frequency Sake Podcast Network. Here we are, another primetime game that is a borderline catastrophe. This is becoming such a theme on a weekly basis, and I don't really know, you know, there's a lot of things, it seems, with this league that are becoming a problem. The main thing for me that is definitely an issue that is poignant on a weekly basis, offensive line play has never, ever been this bad in the sport. And you look at, on a team-by-team basis, you look at certain teams have backup offensive linemen. You look at the fact that we have guys that are third stringers, guys that are hurt, trying to play hurt. It's all stemming from that. And I think that is one of the biggest factors in every single big game it looks like we're watching. I feel like that is why the games are so choppy. Either that, or we just have officials calling a lot of penalties. There were over 20 penalties in this game, on this Monday Night Football game. That in itself is just insanity. I don't know if they're trying to crack down on stuff. See, here's the crazy thing. At the beginning of the year, I heard that they were going to try to crack down on the illegal contact penalties. And that's the case, but like, every four plays, it seems, there's a flag. It's a hold, it's an illegal contact, it's a holding on the defense. It's just so many times the stuff's getting called. So are players just, you know, breaking the rules more? Are officials just calling stuff more? What's the problem here? How do we get past, how do we solve this issue that is a clear thing? Who knows? Maybe, hopefully, as the league season goes on, we can find a way. We can work around that. I don't know how fixable that is. I do know, though, one thing that's not fixable is offensive line play this year. Both of these teams, their offensive lines are just absolutely atrocious. Let's start with Denver. Their best offensive lineman, Garrett Bowles, left tackle, done for the season. It's a mess. Outside of him, they don't have any high-level offensive linemen on that team. The entire second half, the Chargers were bringing extra guys either on delayed blitzes or loops or hots off the edge, and the Broncos were unable to pick them up. Secondly, Chargers offensive line. They ended up at one point, they were already playing with a backup center. They're playing with a they're playing with a right tackle who's playing with a sprained MCL. They're playing with a backup left tackle. Their backup center got hurt for a little bit of the game, so their third string center had to come in. It's just a mess. Broncos are bringing six guys at least every possession. You also have each team whose running backs are either incapable or inept or just don't want to pass protect. So they're dropping back to pass. You're having free runners all the time because these running backs don't know how to protect the passer. It is ugly and gross. The other thing that we see in these games is this too high shell. Teams are being forced to, you know, take shot, or they're not being able, they're not allowed to take shots. They're not able to push the ball downfield. Yeah, but I don't see most often, like the teams that are good, these offenses are able to find ways to push the ball. Look at the Bills. Look at the Chiefs, even though the Chiefs don't have that explosiveness. Look at the Eagles and how they can move the football, you know? The Giants are 5-1, and they don't have like a NFL level receiver currently on their roster because any of them that are hurt. You know, the Vikings are able to move the ball. It's just so many different ways that some of these teams that have been bad this year and been choppy are ones that either have bad offensive lines or they are unable to push the ball down the field, or here's the biggest thing, and this is another thing for both of these teams. Both of these offensive coaches are, and their game plans and their staffs, or they are so inept and so uncreative, or their receivers are just not good. Let's start with the second one first. Everyone told me how fucking great the Chargers' weapons were, and I tried to tell them, I don't know, they might be a little overrated. Keenan Allen is good, but can't burst. Mike Williams, he can win jump balls, but outside of that, he doesn't do much. Well, listen, Mike Williams is a good player, and I will say Keenan Allen's a good player, but they don't have guys that can separate. It's a whole lot of super tight windows, and I know I talk about evaluating quarterbacks and making tight window throws, but you got to be able to generate easy throws in this league, man. How do you think what do you think Tom Brady has done for 20-plus years? He's generated easy throws. Every quarterback in this league has to be able to generate easy throws. The Chargers don't do shit. It's the same thing every single fucking play when they're dropping back to pass. 7-yard hitch route. 6 yards to the sticks. Out and sit. Herbert threw a pick in the fourth quarter because the D lineman, who was at the edge, dropped back and didn't even have to stand in front of the receiver. He just knew where it was going because Lombardi is so, it just infuriates me how this team has one of the three best quarterbacks alive at this moment, and they are so inept on offense because their inability to get creative. They run the same shit. They don't take any chances. It's mind-boggling to me. It's absolutely mind-boggling to me. On the other case with the Broncos, it's a little bit of creativity. It's a little bit of wide receivers can't get separation. Guys, we might have overrated Jerry Jeudy. Just the fact. K.J. Hamler can't really get open, and he's fast. Cortland Sutton, when is he ever open? Not really. Listen, Russell Wilson's been bad, but let me ask you this. How many times is he actually throwing to guys that have space? How many times is he throwing the ball to guys that are open because they can schematically do it? Yeah, Wilson's been really, really bad this season, but it's not like he's just flat out missing open dudes or... Listen, the stuff with the pocket, I will say this. There's a lot of film where guys are sitting in front of him and he's either staring him down and not looking. I don't know. The stuff with him is frustrating, how he refuses to throw the ball in the middle of the third of the field and all of those notes, and I don't get it with him. I really don't. But it's a lot of not uncreativeness, guys that can't get open, and then in the end, their quarterback plays bad. The beginning of the game, 10-for-10 to start. They get it up to a 10-0 lead. And then the final three quarters, they score 6 points. He goes 5-17, and they lose. A game they have no business losing. The Chargers are 4-2. They shouldn't have won this game. They probably should be 2-4. I like the Chargers, by the way, but man, Brandon Staley. What a fucking doofus Brandon Staley is. Just an absolute doofus. the fact that this guy is getting his job saved on a weekly basis by Justin Herbert is almost maddening because I love Herbert so much. So I'm glad to see it, but at the end of the day, Staley is going to continue to run this team into the ground. They are so poorly coached. They are so inept at doing basic things. The fact that they're 4-2 is mind-boggling. They are the year's IR team, but they're 4-2 because Justin Herbert has been able to save their ass. They were able to run the ball well last week against the Browns, and Herbert made enough plays tonight when things were tough. It's crazy to me. That second half was really brutal to watch. Really brutal to watch. I don't know what has to change in these games, but man, in certain games, man, it is bad football being played, and it is choppy football being played. And the main thing for me is offensive line play. Again, it's never been worse. It has never been worse in the league. I can't remember a time. Now, you can also say this. Defensive coaching maybe has never been better. It's a copycat league. Teams are going to this too high shell. They're rushing four. They're blitzing. So, it's a lot, man. Eventually, you got to think teams are going to figure it out. You would think pass rushers and D linemen have never been paid more to go get a quarterback, so they're playing well. Defensive coaches are scheming some certain things up, which you got to love. But at the end of the day, too, offensive line play, it's just horrendous. Outside of most of the teams I have in my Elite Eight, which not even all of them, I mean, the Giants, their O-line's very bad. Their O-line's bad. The Vikings' O-line is average. Niners' O-line is beat up. Spoiler alert, those are three teams in my Elite Eight. It's not... Bucks are bad. Cowboys are bad up front. You know, just guys-wise. Guys are hurt. Certain teams are managing with what they've got, but also, it's just really brutal. Really brutal. That's where these games are going to tilt, and that's where these games are going to eventually be better. Not saying it's unwatchable right now, but sometimes it's infuriating just kind of seeing certain teams stuck in the mud, man. Because here's the thing with the Broncos. We've seen this lame-ass fucking story 4 times in 6 weeks because they've been on primetime games. We had to watch them suck against the Seahawks. And then we watched that ridiculously grotesque game against the Niners. We watched that even more ridiculous shitstorm against the Colts. And then tonight where they looked actually good for a quarter and then all of a sudden they piss down their leg. They can't block a soul. Russ isn't throwing to guys. And then they can't run the ball. Whole lot of mess. Nat Hackett is closer to being on the one in Dunbar Brigade, which is the thing. I don't know how to fix this Broncos team right now. It's a mess. And they are, again, here's the thing, though. You're not far out of it. Not in this league, where everyone is average outside of a few teams. 2-4. Hey, man, the Raiders are 1-4, and I think they could still make the playoffs. But I also do say this. I think the Raiders are better than Denver. I also watched them play, and Vegas kicked their ass for 4 quarters. This Denver team's a mess. For the Chargers, they're 4-2. I was on the verge of writing their season off, but hey, they're tied for the division lead now. They just got to get healthy, man, in some way, shape, or form. They obviously aren't getting Slater back for the year. I don't know how long Lindsey will be out. Pipkins is playing with a fucking torn ligament in his knee. Justin Herbert, he's playing with broken ribs. Keenan Allen's out with a hammy. We all know those are tough. Their defense outside of Joey Bosa is actually mainly healthy and playing well. So you got to give them credit for that. That right there in itself. They still can't stop the run well. Tranquil and Murray are not good against the run. But they got all-star corners. They got some good depth on the D-line. Maybe if you can get Bosa back and Lindsley back, that'll help. Maybe Pipkins can get better. But that's just tough. And Herbert, I mean, he's got broken ribs, man. He's been playing with them for a month now almost. So that in itself. Because, like, Herbert doesn't even have zip on his deep balls anymore. They kind of die. Like, and he's still taking hits every week. It's not pretty. I don't know where to go with this Chargers team, but you're 6 weeks in. You're the most banged up team in the league, and you're tied for the division lead in what we all think's the toughest division in the sport. At the end of the day, you got to tip your cap because the team has rallied, and it's on the players. It's not. It's certainly not on the coaches because Brandon Staley's a fucking nerd, an absolute nerd. You can't convince me otherwise. They deserved to lose the last two games, but didn't because they have ridiculously elite talent that finds ways to win. And it's funny, but here we are. All right, I'm going to take a break. We've got the NFL Elite 8 through 6 weeks next. Make sure you tune into For Frequency's Sake on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Twitch each Sunday during the football season from 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. The boys from For Fantasy's Sake will be bringing the fire fantasy football takes, updating you on the week's rankings and injuries, and getting you ready for your fantasy football matchups each and every week. The show is interactive, so be sure to send your questions. You can find them at For Frequency's Sake on Facebook, at FFSQC on Twitter, or you can send them an email at forfantasysakeqc@gmail.com. For Fantasy's Sake has teamed up with Route 96 Boutique to raise a little more cash for Toys for Tots this season. From September 11th until the end of November, 10% off of all purchases made with Route 96 on Sundays will be donated to us for our Toys for Tots drive. At Route 96, they believe in girl power. They want a place that people of all shapes and sizes can shop and feel empowered and beautiful. They want you to be the best you possible, and they are committed to bringing you different styles while also providing some basics to express the true you. You can find them on Facebook and at Route96Boutique.com. Again, that's Route96Boutique.com. All right, enough bullshit. Let's get real, son. It is time for the Week 6 NFL Elite 8, the Power Rankings Gospel. All right, here's the deal. We are 6 weeks in. Some of these teams normally wouldn't be on here, but at the end of the day, I did this from week... What? I came up with this concept when I started the podcast last year, like week three. So 15, 6 now. We've done over 20 of these. Never in the history of this has there ever been, it's been harder, has it ever been harder to find 8 teams that should qualify? Because boy, oh boy, let me tell you, after about number 5, the options are tricky. Let me tell you. So, the main theory and the goal and the theme of this, I should say, is we are giving credit where credit is due, because I hate to just have, here are the best 8 teams that won from Sunday, something like that. I really do. But who am I if I allow teams to stay on the list that absolutely have ass-blasting losses? Like Green Bay, get fucked, you're done for a while. Tampa Bay, you're not done for a while, but you lost to Pittsburgh, who might be the worst team in the AFC. Yeah, goodbye. Who else? The Ravens. Continuing to be extremely, extremely underwhelming. Another poor loss that, you know, was avoidable, but you made mistakes, and you're back to 500. Get off the list. Teams that have underwhelmed all year, teams like the Rams, I'm not going to put you on the list because you're 3-3. You have teams like the Titans or the Colts. No, you're not getting on. You're not getting on. The Patriots. No. This is very hard. But I also, like a team like Atlanta, I thought about it. But I feel like it'd be unintegral if I just, again, I'd feel like it'd be almost throwing the best 8 teams at one from Sunday or something like that. And I feel like that would have been tacky. And I say that because number 8, and I feel shitty, is the team that they just plowed on Sunday. It's the Niners. Someone had to be eight, man. So fucking kill me. Everyone's going to lose their shit because somebody's not eight. And at the end of the day, I don't know what you want from me. Okay, people? I really don't. Not this week. Not this week. There are so many teams right now that do not deserve to even be mentioned. But we're going to start with San Francisco. They're beat up, per usual. Sunday was awful. I don't know. They are literally here because I know what their ceiling is. And I still think they're going to be, at the end of the day, one of the four or five best teams in the league. But right now, eight is at best I can put them. They get a chance, though, for redemption. They get the Chiefs at home next week. And you got to think they'll be desperate because right now they're tied in a three-way tie for the division. But the one saving grace for them is that the two teams they're tied with are two teams that they just have rolled at home. But at the end of the day, man, they got to start stacking some wins. And in their case, next Sunday is a great chance, even though it's against a really good team. But there's ways, there's stuff for them that can work and for next week with how physical they are and their pass rush. Those are some things that I think they could exploit. We'll see. Going to be tough. Going to be a good game, but it's going to be really tough. Next, the number seven. Listen, man, shout out. This could very well be the only week they are here because I think they play at Buffalo next week and they'll probably get absolutely fucking drilled. But it's the New York Jets. J-E-T-S, baby. Jets, Jets, Jets. You got to give credit where credit is due. Big shout out to them. They have done a great job of retooling and rebuilding this roster to where they are competitive and playing well already. The fact that it's not just that they went in and that they won, you know, last week. It's the fact that they went in and they absolutely dominated the Packers in Lambeau for 60 minutes. It's just absolutely phenomenal how they did that. And they won. It's not the Bills next week. It's Denver. So, hey, there's a chance. Listen, I like a lot of their players. Let's start on their defensive line. Quinnen Williams is an absolute dog. He was beating some ass up front. Quincy Williams, C.J. Mosley at the linebacker position. Two guys that are playing really, really well. And one of my favorite guys in the league already is Ahmad Sauce Gardner. Batman's the truth. Already one of the five best corners in football. That man has the straps. You talk about an island. He plays with Revis, Sherman, all those high-level skills that you saw from guys of past years, past times. That is the type of game that this kid has. And, dude, it's absolutely impressive what he's able to do on a weekly basis. Seeing how he plays and the structure and how he navigates and works his matchups, man, it's special to watch. Offensively for this team, it's not been pretty, but it's been effective. They know what they are. Zach Wilson has made some steps, but he was also, let's be real, he was rough on Sunday. But here's what I like about the Jets. Creativity on the offensive side. What did we just spend the entire first segment talking about? Too many teams in this league are unfucking creative. Look at how the Jets scored their two biggest plays of the game. On Sunday, the wide receiver reverse, where they fake the toss, they hit the reverse, they roll out the two pullers, they hit the tight end and the tackle on these two reverse pulls, they get two key blocks, Berrios scores, and then to start the fucking fourth quarter, they run the fake toss to the right, they go underneath with the trap to the left, Breece Hall scores, two beautiful play designs that are drawn up, creativity. Too many coaches in this league are fucking uncreative. They're boring. They don't understand how to schematically get easy stuff. The Jets, two biggest drives of the game. Finally moving the ball on offense. They hit a couple big pass plays. Tie game at three in what's been a stalemate. They hit that reverse. They score. They don't look back. Then they're up 17-10. The Packers come right back down the field they're up 17-3. Packers come right back down the field to score. It's 17-10. You have a nice drive. A touchdown here is huge to take back the momentum, and you call that fucking play on the road. Beautiful shit. Absolutely fucking beautiful. And the Jets pull away and win. Absolutely love to see it. Number six, the Minnesota Vikings. I reviewed the tape, and we admitted that last week the Vikings probably should have been on the list. They are now 5-1. Do we have issues with how they've won? Yes and no. It's been unimpressive. They can't pull away from teams. But at the end of the day, they're winning. And this is kind of what I expected from them this year. Certain stuff would be impressive. Certain stuff would not be impressive. And then they would still find a way to win games. They're two games up on everyone in the NFC North. They are one game back of the Eagles. That's their only loss in the NFC. And even in that game, they moved the ball. They just had some bad turnover luck. The Vikings are good enough to be in the race with the Eagles for the one seed. This is not a done deal for Philadelphia. Do I think Philadelphia is going to go 13-4, 14-3? Probably. But the Vikings, I predicted them at the beginning of the year. They're going to win 12 games at least, I think. I thought they were going to win the division. I thought they were going to be the one seed. They're right there. They are absolutely right there at 5-1. Number five, the New York Giants. Listen, man, this can get flown off the tracks at any moment's notice, but I will say this, they got a schedule that lines up well the next few weeks, and you can't count chickens when you have a roster that is, let's be real, underwhelming, but you got to give credit where credit is due. Guys like, obviously, Saquon Barkley is hooping. Daniel Jones, to his credit, has protected the football. Brian Daboll. So, John Middlecoff, a guy that is on Colin Coward's Volume podcast network, and he's a former scout of the Eagles, West Coast dude, now lives in California, or Arizona, I believe, I'm not sure. But he talked about how when he was a scout for the Eagles, he always talked about how the Giants had a culture of just badasses, like Coughlin and Parcells. And they once Coughlin was gone when they had McAdoo and the other dude from the fucking from the Vikings, Shermer, those guys, they just didn't, or, and now then Joe Judge, they just didn't have any sort of identity, and they had no character in that locker room and in that organization. Now they do with Daboll again. They have an identity. They have character. They are tough. They are physical. And they are a disciplined team, and they take after their head coach. And Brian Daboll right now, by a country mile, is coach of the year. As much as I would love to say it's Nick Sirianni, and we'll talk about him later. The Giants, I thought, were going to be putrid. But Daboll has established a culture, and they're tough, they're physical, they're disciplined. They play hard, and they are winning games. Shout out to also Kayvon Thibodeau and all you dumbasses that told me he didn't love football. He plateaued in college, blah, 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 blah. When talent is there, it's there, man. I don't know why so many people hate on guys like that. When you're that good for that long, it's always fun to put new names at the top of lists. You know, when you get sick of putting the same guy as the first pick over and over again. Well, hey, guess what? No disrespect to Hutchinson, but who's made more big plays? Kayvon or Hutchinson? Just saying. Thibodeau is amazing. And what a pick by the Giants. They get him. They get Evan Neal. Neal struggled a bit. That is true. But the fucking draft, they hammer offensive and defensive line. Now, listen, man, they obviously have to go out and get skill positions on the offensive side of the ball. We all know that. But again, Daniel Jones is not a good quarterback. But what we have to give them credit for, and him specifically, they have gotten it into him where he's protecting the football. He is protecting the ball and not making mistakes. And as long as they do that, they're going to be in every single game. They just are. They're that well coached. And they have enough good talent to where they will be able to kind of, you know, navigate their way through some spots. It won't always be that way, but listen, man, their good players are better than most, and that's what's helping them. And the fact that they're so polished right now, when it comes from a coaching perspective, that is a huge, huge nugget in itself so far through six weeks. Four down, four to go. Best four teams in football next. Today's episode is brought to you by Kavanaugh's Hilltop Bar in Rock Island. It's the place to be every Sunday this football season. Barbecue Chris will be in the house every week smoking the place up with his amazing menu or mouth-watering barbecues. Cavies will have every game on inside and outside their numerous TV screens. Plus, you can play their adult video games, and they have the loosest slots around. Check out Kavanaugh's Hilltop Bar, 1228 30th Street in Rock Island. Top four teams in the NFL. Number four, the Dallas Cowboys. Now, there's a little bit of, I have them, like, they're the only, more or less, outside. I mean, the four in the order here is obvious, but the separation between, like, the Giants and the Cowboys is more than just, oh, I think the Cowboys beat them, so I have them ahead of the Giants. You know, that's more than that. A lot of it has to do with how much I trust them, trust their roster, and all that stuff. So, the Cowboys at four, listen, man, a month ago when Dak got hurt, never thought we'd be here, but they're 4-2. Here's what I take away the most, honestly, from that game on Sunday. The fact that they were able to rally the troops and have a shot late. Like, even Cooper Rush was able to get over and move on from a couple of horrific throws in the first half. And he played okay in the second half. Outside of that pick late when it was 26-17. And I was impressed with the fact that they were in that spot and they hung around and they were there at the end. That is what I was most impressed with. Hopefully when Dak comes back, they continue to do the things well that they were doing well when Cooper Rush was playing. The defense continues to stay well. Their defensive line continues to be balling. Their DBs continue to be good against the pass. As long as their O-line continues to improve, hopefully their play calling stays more unpredictable. It's always weird how you see play callers. When they have backup quarterbacks, they actually get unpredictable to try to fool the defense. But when they have a better quarterback, it's almost like they want to force him to have a hand tied behind their back. No, when you have a good quarterback, unlock him more. Play action on first down. Quit being so basic. Just absolutely quit being basic. Stares at Byron Leftwich intensely. But I'm just saying, I want to see the Cowboys be a little more unpredictable when Dak comes back than they normally have been. And hopefully, for their case, they can continue to play well. And I think they will. I think they should be. Here are now Dallas at four. As of now, is by default to an extent. Do I believe as of today they're the fourth best team I have seen? Yes. Do I believe there is a gap between them and three after Sunday? A little. Then there is a massive gap from 3-2-1. Let's start with number three, of course. That is the Philadelphia Eagles. Now I know what everyone's going to say. Oh, they're undefeated. They should be first, or at least they should be second. Listen, man, this ain't standings, man. If you want standings, you can go to NFL.com. You can look at a drop-down tab. You can go to standings. There will be standings there for you, or the Eagles will be first. They are not first on this. Listen, do I think they are good? Yes, absolutely. I wouldn't have them at three if I didn't think they were good. Okay, you idiot. Do I think that they are... Do I think that they have some flaws that we haven't seen get exposed yet? Yes. What's going to happen when the run isn't there? What is going to happen when teams are able to force them into must-passing, like, known passing situations? But here's a thing as well that I'm able to accept. They might not see many of those situations this year. The thing that is the most impressive to me about this Eagles team is that there are drives when teams know they are running the ball and they are still able to do it. That is when I know you are a great team. when teams know you are going to run the football and you can still run the football, that then I know that you have it. Their offensive line is great. They have a fantastic schematics with their read game and their ability to get their guys on the edge and make plays. They always make you choose wrong, no matter what. And that's what I love about this offense. I just think that they would be at least 6-point underdogs on a neutral field against the two teams ahead of them. Probably 5 or 6 to Kansas City and about 8 points against Buffalo. Like, that's just about factual, partner. And I'm sorry if that hurts your feelings, but facts don't care about your feelings. Shout out to the guy who made that lineup at first. Okay, number 2, Kansas City Chiefs. Do I have concerns right now about the Chiefs? Not really. You know, they are still really good. They're still really good. But at the end of the day, they had their chance, and they were unable to get it done against Buffalo. And that's why they're 2, and it's going to take a lot for them to move back up to 1, that's for sure. On Sunday, the gaps between them and the Bills were that they are uncommitted. They were less committed to run the ball than the Bills, and that was a sign. They made more mistakes. Pat Mahomes with 2 really bad picks. And their offensive line is really good, but against this year, against the elite pass rushers they've played, you look at the Chargers, and you look at Sunday against Buffalo, that, and then, I mean, even against the Raiders, Chandler Jones and Max Crosby were kicking their teeth in. That is where they are struggling. Now, you're not going to play elite pass rushers like that every night, but what is what the entire top 4 have in common? Or at least the other three teams, I should say, in the top 4 have in common? Really good D-lines with really good edge rushers. You don't think Micah Parsons and DeMarcus Lawrence wouldn't be in Pat Mahomes' lap for 60 minutes? You don't think Fletcher Cox, Derek Barnett, those guys would be in Pat Mahomes' lap for 60 minutes? Don't think so. Like, I think so. You don't think when they play Sunday, I'm expecting Nick Bosa to live in that backfield? Because I've seen the 3 teams they played that have good edge rushers have absolutely lived in the backfield. Bosa and Mac were tearing the tackles up. Max Crosby and Chandler Jones were tearing the tackles up. And in the second half, on the biggest drives of the game, Von Miller made the plays, and it knocked the Chiefs off their rhythm, off their spot. And essentially, that's what won them the game with the defensive side of the ball. So that's my biggest concern right now for the Chiefs. That and their DBs are really, 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 really average. I think Reed is good. I like his flow to the ball. I think the kid they got from Washington could be solid. But at the end of the day, they are what they are. They are always going to get chewed up playing one-on-one. Teams are not afraid to throw deep shots at them because they can't cover it well. Like, that's just how they are. There are other teams in the league that teams throw one-on-one shots at, and they're not getting as many DPI calls as the Chiefs or not getting burned as much. Those are the 2 biggest concerns I have right now with Kansas City. Is their tackles, like, their O-line is really good, but their tackles have struggled against high-level edge rushers, and their DBs are not great against one-on-one, like, good one-on-one players on the outside. Outside of that, I'll hear some positives. Juju Smith-Schuster, really nice to see him have a good game. It was nice to see him involve him more. And hopefully throughout the year he can become kind of their number one wide receiver target because they need it. They don't have much continuity right now at the wide receiver position. It's a lot of Kelce or nothing, it seems, sometimes. So if they can get Juju going, that will be a huge factor because their schedule doesn't lighten up. But that Niners game will be interesting to see how they are able to attack that Niners defense, which has been amazing so far through six games, or through five games up until Sunday when the Falcons ran up on them. All right, number one, of course, it's the Buffalo Bills. We mentioned yesterday how Von Miller paying dividends. It was the best move in the offseason for the Bills. $120 million well spent. Those are the type of margins that they needed to fix up in order to win a game like they did on Sunday and win a game like that in the playoffs. Let me think here for Buffalo. One factor that we knew coming into this game was that their offense was going to be able to move the ball. We knew that in that last minute, their offense would have to, they would score. We knew they would deliver because we have seen it before. We needed to have the opportunity to answer, could their defense get the stop? And they did. And that was what I was able to take away the most on Sunday, was their defense was able to make the important stops necessary, and they won the game. And I think they're going to have a gaudy record throughout the year. Very impressive win on Sunday from the Bills, but I still think the Bills and the Chiefs, class of their own right now. Eagles are third, kind of by themselves, with a little bit of a gap to the rest of the field. So that is it. Niners at 8th, Jets at 7, Vikings at 6, the Giants at 5, Cowboys at 4, Eagles at 3, Chiefs at 2, and back in front, the Buffalo Bills. No one circles the wagons like them, and no one leads the Elite 8 almost as much as they do. They are once again back at the top of the food chain, number one on the Elite 8. This episode is brought to you by Clint's Draft House Pizza and Grill in Moline and Davenport. Chase away your Sunday scaries at Clint's Draft House Pizza and Grill this season. Located in the Belgium neighborhood of 7th Street in Moline, Clint's Draft House Pizza and Grill is home to some of the Quad City's best food and drink specials. On Sunday, there's no better place to be. Clint's is serving up 75-cent wings and $4 Bloody Marys all day. And is your favorite team playing in those out-of-market games? Well, you'll never miss a second of the action on one of their 10 screens with NFL Sunday Ticket. And after you've had your wing and bloody fix, finish off your football-watching experience with one of their famous Quad City-style pop pizzas. And folks, they know pizza. They've been spinning QC-style pies for the last 22 years. So make Clint's part of your Sunday football routine. Clint's Draft House, Pizza and Grill, 7th Street in Moline. And also, Clint's is now serving up their famous pizza and fried chicken on the Iowa side of the river as well. Clint's Pizza House and Chicken opens up daily at 4 p.m. so everyone in the Quad Cities can enjoy their QC-style pizza and Henny Penny fried chicken. That's Clint Pizza House and Chicken, 7th Street Moline, and 1601 West 3rd Street in Davenport. All right, that's going to do it again for another one. Shout out to DJ Jarvis for our graphics that we've been having lately. DJ's the man. Shout out to Doug for being the one who constantly, daily, puts up with all of us sending him shit. And then, you know, putting it out there for us and for us to have and all that good stuff. Let me think here. Something to look out for. We will be back on, what will it be? It will be tomorrow? Tomorrow, yes. So here's the thing. Today, this is going to come out Tuesday, and it'll be opening night for the NBA. I don't exactly remember who the fuck's playing. I know the Warriors and the Lakers are playing. I don't remember the other game. But it could be Bucks-Celtics. I'm not sure. But regardless, our NBA over-under preview, two parts, it's going to come out Wednesday. So it's going to come out tomorrow. Danny and I were on it. I thought we did some awesome work. I really hope you listen to that and tune it out. Check it out. Tune in. It's going to be great. We did about three total, about close to four total hours on these. I think this was really, really good stuff, and I'm excited to get these out there and hope you guys like them. Until then, thank you all for listening. We'll be back. We'll have that tomorrow, and then we will be back with the Sinister Six on Friday with the Thursday night game review. I don't know. I'm going to be honest. I don't know if we're going to have I don't know if we're going to have a Thursday night game review because the game might be shit. But might do some baseball stuff. Could get Nick on. We'll see. I'm going to try to be a little creative on Thursday. We're going to try. No promises, but we're going to try. All right? Thank you all for listening. We will see you tomorrow for the NBA Over-Under Palooza, and then Friday for Sinister Six and some other stuff. Thank you all. Love you all. This has been the Educated Ignorance Podcast. If you ain't got the game, you best pass the sticks. Enjoy NBA opening night. Enjoy NBA opening week. Hopefully you can enjoy the NFL on Thursday. Enjoy the Major League Baseball playoffs. The ALCS. No, the NLCS starts Tuesday. ALDS will wrap up Tuesday. So much fun stuff happening. Love you all, guys. We'll see you next week. We are out. Peace.